Book of 1 Corinthians this morning. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, which brings us to the end of this first epistle, first letter to the church at Corinth from the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter number 16. And let me do encourage you to be here tonight for the evening service with the fellowship afterwards. And I know you'll all be thinking about the message tonight, and so do be here tonight for that. And then Tuesday night, as opposed to Thursday night, for our midweek Bible study, and we'll have a great time this coming Tuesday as well. If you were here last Sunday morning, I brought a message on addictions, and of course, we're starting our new addiction recovery ministry, and I just kind of really broke it down for us in how an addiction is not just for the alcoholic who has found their way to living on the streets now. We all have addictions. And it's anything that has more control over us than the Holy Spirit does. And so if you were not here, let me encourage you to go back. Or if you were here, let me encourage you to go back and listen to that on our website, our YouTube channel, our podcast, any of those ways, and be reminded of that. And so I say that to remind you of what I preached last week, because this is going to be connected a little bit. Last week, I preached about how we don't want addictions. We want to get over these addictions. Do you remember that? We all agree with that. This week, and last week, I made a lot of statements, but one of the points I made is that when you remove something, we don't need voids of time. Because a lot of times we fill that with things that we can get addicted to. And so if you're going to replace that, you need to replace it with something good. And so I am going to this week, last week, it was let's do something to get victory over our addictions. We can all say amen to that. Well, this week I'm going to confuse you, because I'm going to say there are people in here you need to get addicted. So the victory over addiction is addiction. How many of you are confused right now? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we'll begin reading with verse number 12. I love the epistles of the Apostle Paul, especially 1 and 2 Corinthians. They're so personal. You see so much of the relationship that Paul had with these early Christians. And he's coming to the end of this letter, and he's addressed many important things. And you see some of the personal nature of the Apostle Paul, and talking of some of the things. He's got opportunities, and he's got things that has prevented him from coming to them. And he gets to verse number 12. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Apollos was one of those who stood in Paul's stead, or came to strengthen the church, and he can't even make it there. And so then it leads Paul, while under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in verse 13 to say, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. In spite of the fact I'm not there, in spite of the fact Apollos cannot be there, all the things that we've addressed, you need to stand fast in the faith. And that's a good admonition for all of us, isn't it? And it's good for us to come together and be encouraged. It's good to have a pastor to challenge us from the Word of God. But I'm not going home with you. We are all going to have to determine that we are going to stand fast. Let all things, verse 14, be done with charity. Of course, we remember he writes much about charity. Then verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourselves unto such, and every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. He said he gives them this admonition, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, oh, by the way, you know the house of Stephanas? You know that it is the first fruits of a KI. He's one of the first ones to get saved here, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. He's given some insight there. How are you going to do all things with charity? How are you going to watch, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong? he brings up Stephanus as an example, and what Paul is saying is you're going to have to get addicted. You're going to have to put yourself in a situation to do some things. Verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such, and everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit in yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. This morning, I want to preach on the subject of ministry addicts. Ministry addicts. While we have a ministry to help all of us be free of that which would bound our flesh, well, there's some things we want to be addicted to. We want to be addicted to the ministry. Father, help us this morning as we consider these truths. May we apply them to our heart, to our life. And I pray that through this message this morning, you will work, speak to hearts. May we see the importance of ministry, see the importance that we can play when it comes to your work. And Father, I pray that if there's one unsaved, today be their day of salvation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul closes this 1 Corinthian letter by drawing attention to a family. It's the household of Stephanus. These lives had made such a difference that God has preserved them. The Holy Ghost has immortalized them in Scripture. This household will always be set apart, will always be recognized for all of eternity as God has seen fit to draw attention to them through the pen of the Apostle Paul. Let's look at some facts that we find out here about the household of Stephanus, because if we're not careful, there are those that God has preserved in Scripture that we'll overlook, because it is Paul who wrote this letter. It is Apollos who served with him. It is Titus. It is Timothy. It is the Apostle Peter. It is the Apostle John. Yet, there is a very good reason why Paul highlights the household of Stephanus. We are told in verse 15 that they're some of the first converts in Achaia. This was the first fruits of that region. Before anyone else responded, before there was a great church established there, this family was converted, and not only was it converted, this family stepped forth to continue and carry on the work of God. They were pioneers, if you were. They weren't pioneers of a new nation, but they were pioneers of the grace of God. See, God can take those who've been saved for a short time, those changed lives, and use their testimonies to inspire others. So we see there's some of the first who were converted, and we find out they had standing in the community, yet they still served. A lot of times we think if we have responsibility or standing in the community, that means we don't serve. I mean, it would be great if those that had standing in our community served as God would have people serve. I mean, you and I, we don't have the standing of a congressman, thank God, but we don't have the standing of a congressman, but how many of them are really serving? We must understand, well, Pastor, I have these responsibilities in the community. Well, I'm thankful for that. But we find Stephanus still served. He mentions them in verse number 17, along with others, these names associated with respect and standing. Yet with all their influence, resources, and reputation, they were known for one thing. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They didn't use their standing to promote themselves. They didn't use whatever financial means they had to necessarily make their life easier. They used it for the ministry of the saints. And can I just interject this in here, if you'll allow me this morning, that's just kind of as a, this is a bonus. It has nothing to do with the message. I think there's a lot of us that God doesn't bless us in the way we desire because He knows it would ruin us. Because instead of using the blessings for the ministry, the blessings for His work, we would use it for ourselves. See, he was used his ministry. He was addicted to the ministry. He was not addicted to his own talent. He was not addicted to position. He was not addicted to title. Some Christians are addicted to that. He had an addiction, but it was not a destructive addiction, but a Holy Spirit-produced compulsion. In other words, they couldn't not serve. You know how you could, if you left your phone and you couldn't, you'd have to go back and get it. But and I don't know if this happened this morning, but if you left your Bible on your way to church, would you go back and get it? It was a compulsion produced by the Spirit for ministry. In other words, the pastor didn't have to plead to serve in ministry. Paul didn't have to write letters begging for somebody to step forward. Paul is pointing out that they were just doing it. It consumed their thoughts. I wonder how many Christians will attend church today and they won't think about it again until next Saturday night after everything in the week has been accomplished. I attended church, and you should attend church, and you can serve while you're in church, but serving is not limited to when you walk in the church doors and when you walk out of the church doors. It consumed their thoughts. How can I serve someone today? How can I serve God today? How can I serve His cause today? It consumed their thoughts. It shaped their schedule. Pastor, I would serve in a greater capacity, but it just doesn't fit in my schedule. Well, you're shaping your schedule wrong. If we were truly addicted to God, if we were truly addicted to the Word of God, if we were truly addicted to spiritual things, it's amazing we would find time to put Him in our schedule. You know, I've never heard an addict say, I've had to squeeze in my addiction. Matter of fact, that's the problem, is that comes before everything else. Could you imagine if Christians modeled the household of Stephanus and said, Pastor, I didn't give a testimony. I have an addiction. All I think about is serving Jesus. All I think about is how can my family do more for the cause of Christ. All I can think about is who in the church needs somebody to serve them. All I can think about is what can we do for the cause of Christ. It's not something that fit in their schedule. Matter of fact, they fit their schedule around the service of the Lord. It governed their priorities. Can we all be honest this morning? Many times we choose how we serve God in our strength, our talents, our time, our treasure, based on what is convenient. And I think this would be a safe thing to say, generally speaking, with Christians in America, serving God is not the priority. Serving themselves, serving their company, serving a political party, serving a career, even serving their family above serving God. See, not the household of Stephanus. They went to bed thinking about ministering. They woke up looking for someone to bless. Throughout the day, they looked for their next fix, another opportunity to serve the people of God. To put it in the terminology of the day, who can I text to encourage? Who can I pray for? Who can I go visit? Who can I call and say, hey, I missed you? Who's recovering from surgery? And I can say, hey, let me follow up on them. What is the pastor looked weary on Sunday? Let me pray for him. They were just looking for that next fix of something they could do for God. They didn't need an acknowledgement from Paul. They didn't need an acknowledgement from the church. They were just addicted to it. They were feeding their addiction. So they were not addicted to all of the vices of this world, but they were addicted to the ministering of the saints. this message this morning. And yes, we must be reminded that we want to help those addicted in sin to break those chains and whatever that addiction is. But this morning, Paul is calling the Christian to a different kind of an addiction, a holy addiction. And by the way, that's why you need to give up those things that are those stumbling blocks. Give up those things that you can't sit down. As I explained last week, it's not just alcohol. It's not just a drug. It's not just some sin of the flesh. It can be a hobby. It can be something that would not be necessarily sinful, but it is hindering us from serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in a greater way. See, the word minister means to attend and serve. So whenever we say ministry, this is what we are saying. The pastor is to be in ministry. But so is every Christian, is to be in ministry. Well, I'm not called to ministry. What in the world are you talking about? What Bible have you been reading? You hadn't been reading 1 Corinthians. Maybe the first book of self. But every Christian's called to ministry. Every Christian's supposed to be in ministry. And quite frankly, that's one of the purposes of the church, is to provide a place for His children to serve Him through ministry. It's the vehicle to which we can serve through. Ladies, you don't keep the nursery because you drew the short straw. You're serving in ministry. Guys, you don't usher just because you like the color of the usher coats. In fact, I'm thinking about making an executive decision, and I'm having Brother Mike's coat. He's in charge of the usher coats from now on. We're going to see how dedicated you men are then. It's serving. You know, it don't matter how much talent you have, you can serve. It don't matter how much standing you have in the church, you can serve. It doesn't matter. You say, well, so I'm waiting on pastor to come give me an opportunity. What do you mean you're waiting on pastor to give you an opportunity? Hasn't God given you another day? Hasn't God given you breath in your lungs? Isn't there somebody that you can put a smile on their face? Isn't there somebody you can say, hey, my name is so-and-so, and introduce yourself to them? Isn't there something that you can do? I mean, you could walk around and see if there's any trash on the property that could be picked up before the service. You could see if there's anything that needs to be done instead of being the ones like, when are they going to fix that? Well, when are you going to fix it? It's ministry. Imagine a church overflowing with ministry addicts. Imagine a church where people woke up saying, who can I bless today? Who can I encourage today? What need can I meet today? What burden can I lift today? What saint can I strengthen today? Boy, if we had a churches overflowing with ministry addicts, can I just submit this morning that there'd be fewer discouraged Christians? Fewer lonely Christians. There'd be more action, more joy. There'd be more growth. There'd be more answered prayer. There'd be more fruit. This is what Paul saw in the household of Stephanas. This is what Paul saw in that family. I would just say that the family of Stephanas, they did not have the mindset that the church is here for us, but we are here for the church. We need to get our blessing from the church. And by the way, aren't you thankful your church is a blessing to you? Aren't you thankful when you're low and you're discouraged, you can come to the house of God and be around God's people, and there's just something encouraging about church? But that should be those exceptions, those valleys in life when we're beat down and we need our church. But outside of that, we ought to be coming to church saying, what can I do for my church? Can you imagine what services would be like if everybody came and said, I'm going to sing like I'm actually in the presence of God? Because let me help you. You are in the presence of God. Amen. And can you imagine being in eternity one day in that great heavenly choir, all the saints of all of the millennia are singing together? You're not going to sing then like you sing now, bored, not paying attention. What's this? Isn't my favorite song? It's going to be like, I don't care what song it is. If it's about Him, could you imagine the spirit and the service if everybody sang like they were in His presence? But can you imagine what would happen with God's people if we all had the mindset of, whose load could I lift today? Paul points out and says, I've got to recognize them. This is who he is talking about. Let me just make four quick statements this morning to consider about ministry addicts. Ministry addicts, number one, should be respected in the church. In verse 18, Paul writes, for they have refreshed my spirit in yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Paul said ministry addicts deserve recognition. Not for ego, but for encouragement. You know, we all have so much strength, we all have so much spirit, we all have so much energy, and when you expend it, you know, you need to spend time with God to get that recharge, but it's nice to have somebody encouraging the encourager. See, I'm thankful for every talent that God has bestowed upon His people and every talent that's used in His church. But don't take this wrong. You ought to use your time for God, but God can replace your talent. But those of Stephanus and Mold, that household of Stephanus, those are hard to replace because not everybody is willing to be addicted to the ministry. These are people who are the first of all. Let me tell you who the pastor appreciates. I appreciate and love everybody. You have talent, you don't have talent. You've been saved a long time, been saved a short time. But let me tell you who is just a blessing to the pastor. It's not necessarily the most talented people. It's not even the wealthiest people. It is the addicts, those who are addicted to ministry, those that are saying, you know, Pastor Al, and I know there's some of you like that are this way. Because sometimes there's needs I don't even know about because they've already been met. That's not a bad thing. They're the people who are first to volunteer. They stay late without being asked. They quietly hold up the arms of the pastor. They serve without applause. Oh, here's one. They sacrifice without complaint. Have you ever noticed that those that are addicted, and that drug has got them, that alcohol has got them, whatever it is has got them, when they serve that addiction, they don't complain about it? It's what they do. And would it be that way with us, that we sacrifice without complaint? Friend, we need to be reminded in 2025, the day of the American dream and the blessings of God, that to sacrifice for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is a noble thing. It's a worthy thing. In measured against eternity, it's not even a sacrifice when compared to what He has done for us. We just need a bunch of ministry addicts that, hey, I get to give something else to Him. I get to give up some more time. I get to give up some more energy. I get to use my life for Him. See, Jesus set the standard in Matthew 23:11 when He said, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. See, greatness in God's eyes is not measured in titles, positions, degrees, but in servanthood. That's why it's a noble thing to honor servants, to acknowledge servants. Number two, ministry addicts should be examples in the church. In verse number 16, after he points out the house of Stephanus in verse 15, he says, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that laboreth with us and everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Don't miss this. Paul says the church should follow these kinds of people. Why? Because ministry addicts embody the New Testament pattern of Christian living. We don't want this mindset here because we want the scriptural blueprint, but every once in a while somebody is looking, they pop in, they're looking, is this the place where I want my family? And what they really mean is, how far up the ladder can I really go? Is there a position here? Because where I was, I had one, and that's really what it has become to me, is can I be noticed, and can I take a title, can I take a position? Paul says the kind of people that we are to follow and they're to be the example is those that don't pick and choose where they serve. They just serve wherever they're needed. They don't wait for recognition because they're just serving for His sake. Well, if pastor asked me, really, you put me above Jesus? Because Jesus has asked you. Jesus is worthy. We don't wait for recognition. We serve for Christ's sake. These ministry addicts, they don't make excuses. They make time. Let that sink in for a little bit. We as Christians, we're good at making excuses. Well, I got this plan and this plan and this plan and this plan. Okay. So what are you going to rearrange so that God has the time? Well, this is good for us. We're a serving church. We know that. This is a good reminder for us. Is our first response an excuse, or is it how can I rearrange my life? How can I rearrange my schedule? Well, Pastor, I would serve in that capacity, but I've got everything planned out. Instead of, I wonder if I can arrange it. I wonder if I can work it out. I wonder if I can figure out what I need to do. They don't make excuses, they make time. They don't talk about burdens, they lift them. Well, Pastor, if I had one of those lives where there was no burdens and there was no heartaches and there was no difficulties and there were no shortcomings and there was, if everything, one of those lives where everything worked out fine, then that's what I would do. Well, if you had a life with no difficulties and no shortcomings and no disappointments and no valleys and everything worked out, you'd be the first one. Because nobody else has that kind of life. And God didn't intend for anybody to have that kind of life. But you don't talk about burdens, you lift them. And not just talk about our own burdens, but talk about the burdens of others. Oh, brother so-and-so, they got it rough. Well, who's lifting the burden? Oh, they need prayer. Why don't we pray? Man, there's really a need there. Why don't we fill it? Why don't we handle it? Why don't we take care of it? We as Christians, even Bible-believing Christians, we are good at identifying the needs. This world's a needy place. Oh, Jacksonville, it's a needy place. There's crime, there's homelessness, there's addictions, there's all these things. Oh, we need a move of God. What are you going to do to solve that problem? Who are you going to give the gospel to? What ministry are you going to support? Where are you going to stand in the gap? Ministry addicts as examples. Let this sink in for a minute. If the church needs it, they say, I'm in. Well, when I see a business plan and 12 model examples, no, they say, I'm in. They inspire others simply by their consistency. They example others. Their example stirs others to action. Think about this statement that I'm going to make. Just one ministry addict can elevate the spiritual temperature of an entire church. Just one ministry addict can elevate the spiritual temperature of an entire congregation. This is a great church. This is a serving church. I'm preaching to a bunch of servants this morning. But until we all get to heaven, we got room to move up. We got opportunities to do more. We got more sacrifices we can make. And if just one family today, if one dad today said, and one mom that today said, you know what, there's not a lot, there's some things that we cannot do, but let me tell you what we can do. We can be addicted to the ministry. And you could take a little bitty family that could elevate the whole spiritual temperature of the great Emmanuel Baptist Church if they would just say, you know what, we're going to meet the needs. We're not even going to ask pastor where help is. We're just going to listen. And if you listen, you'll find out where there's needs. If you'll watch, you'll see where there's opportunities to say, we're going to fill that need. Number three, ministry addicts fill the gaps in the church. Look at verse 17, a great verse. I'm glad the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. See, Stephanas' family stepped in when others wouldn't. Maybe they even stepped in when others stepped out. See, gaps are inevitable in any church. This is a great church. God's blessed this church. This is a church of service, but there's still gaps. See, they're inevitable. And these ministry acts that fill the gap, they, when there's a member discouraged, if there's an area of ministry where there's understaffed, well, I'm not getting involved in that until they get everything figured out. Won't you help figure it out? A need overlooked. If there's a family struggling, a visitor needing some attention, a pastor that's overwhelmed, Paul said these people fill the gaps not by accident, but by intention. Let me tell you what that Stephanas and his family didn't say. They didn't say, that's not my ministry. I mean, if you're a ministry of Emmanuel Baptist Church, I know we have some that have been visiting and maybe you haven't officially joined. If you're a member, that's what I'm trying to say. If you're a member, let me see your hand this morning of the church. If you're a member of the church, did you know every ministry we have is your ministry? Every single one of them. And we have to fill in those gaps. They don't say someone else will do it. They don't have the attitude, I'm sure the pastor has it covered. They don't say, I'm too busy. They saw a need and said, I can meet that. I will help. Or they would even say, that's my responsibility now. And can I just say, we have some of that that goes on, is going on right now, and it's evident, it's obvious. It makes the church a stronger place. It means more people's needs can be met. But it's the willingness to stand in a gap. They weren't waiting for others to do what God had equipped them to do. There's a lot of Christians that when they get to heaven, they stand before God, they're going to have to reconcile what God equipped them to do and what they actually did with the equipping. The excuse of I'm not called or I wasn't asked is not going to measure up when God has equipped us. And by the way, if your children grow up in this ministry, when they get to be adults, even before them, when they get to be adults, they're equipped to serve. So by the way, let me ask you, young couple, young adult, teenager, are you serving? Well, I haven't been asked. You've been equipped. You mean every need's been met? Every prayer's been prayed? Every discouraged person's been encouraged? They didn't wait for others to do what God equipped them to do. A pastor can't do everything. Quote unquote, leadership can't meet every need. Man, if there's a church filled with ministry addicts, every gap gets filled. Let me say number four and finally. Ministry addicts are encouragers in the church. Back to verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Refresh means to revive, breathe life into. You know what would refresh a dead Sunday school class? A ministry addict. You know what would refresh our dead churches? the Bible, the Holy Spirit would help. But somebody would just say, I'm going to be an addict to serving, to encouraging. Because eventually, an encourager is going to encourage somebody who needs encouraging. And now there's one less person discouraged and one more person encouraged. And now we've got something moving. Paul writes, could we agree that Paul was probably the best Christian in the New Testament? I mean, if you wanted to argue about that, you could. You'd probably be wrong, but he was a man who spent time with God in a unique way. Ministry just prepared, called for him. But he could be in jail and keep his spirit up. He could be beaten and keep his spirit up. But I hope through the years that I've pulled back the curtain just a little bit and reminded us that Paul was still a man. And being in prison is not fun. Being beaten is not fun. And certainly his relationship with God helped that. But every once in a while, Paul would acknowledge somebody like Stephanas, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Meaning revive, bring life. You see, ministry addicts lift spirits. They lighten loads. They restore joy. They rekindle hope. They bring calm and chaos. And they pour courage into timid and tired hearts. Paul said himself he was refreshed by them. Notice that Paul did not say he was entertained by them. Paul did not write, for they have impressed my spirit. But he wrote that they have refreshed my spirit. It'd be a good thing, Christian, please hear me. Maybe you hadn't been saved as long, or maybe you look around and say, I don't know if I can fit in. We'd do a lot better as Christians if we'd stop trying to impress one another and start trying to refresh one another. Because when we compare ourselves to Christ, there's nothing impressive about us. But yet the average Christian, I'm afraid, does that. I've got to impress them so that they accept me. I've got to impress so that they feel like I have some value. Your value is in Christ, first of all. But if we would all just come and say, I've got nothing to impress. I've got nobody I'm trying to impress. But can I refresh? Paul said he himself was refreshed by them, not entertained, not impressed, but refreshed. And can I say this? Some of you are surprised that your pastor even likes you. So am I. You say, what does that have to do with the message? Nothing. I just felt like saying it. But I'm not the biggest giver. I don't serve in some capacity. Well, maybe you've got a spirit that's refreshing. Maybe it's, and say, well, Pastor hadn't spoken to me in 8 weeks. Well, there might be a reason for that. There's refreshers and there's depressors. Now, I wouldn't purposely ignore you for 8 weeks and avoid you for 8 weeks. Six is probably my max, but I wouldn't do it for eight. Can I be transparent and honest as a pastor, though? There are people who drain the church. They drain the spirit of the pastor. They drain the spirit of a class. They drain the spirit of a group. Don't be a drain. See, there are some people who they're just going to maintain the status quo. But see, ministry addicts have the ability to revive the spirit. Let me conclude this morning. You know, we know nothing about the public ministry of the household of Stephanus. We don't know if Mrs. Stephanus was the best soloist. We don't know if the children had any particular talents. We don't know that they had any prominence in the church except for what Paul is describing. We know they were prominent individuals who were one of the first converts saved. We don't know if they had charismatic personalities, and they may have, and Mrs. Stephanus may have been the soloist in the church. And so if you're serving that capacity, it doesn't mean you can't be a refresher too, just because you have some talent, just because you have some prominence. We don't know any of those things. We don't know if they had charisma. We don't know if they had one of those personalities that just draws everybody. We know nothing of that. We know them for one thing. They were addicted to serving others. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. It would be a wonderful thing for us to have more of this kind of addict in the church. Might I issue this challenge as well to some of you? You have overcome the addictions we talked about last week, or you're in the process of overcoming them. Why don't you trade that addiction in for an addiction to serving? An addiction to helping others. Would it be a wonderful thing if we got addicted to helping the addicted? We got addicted to teaching that Sunday school class. We got addicted to serving in some capacity. You know, I haven't heard anything in the last few days, but every once in a while, you pastor for as long as I've pastored now, you hear a little bit of, well, there's too many things going on at the church. And we never hear that about a sports schedule. Or the TV schedule. You do need to be home from time to time. But maybe you give up that work social instead of the church social. Well, it's time I have with my family. You mean those cousins you hadn't spoken to in 3 years? And y'all know y'all gonna fight anyway. We're quick to push everything else aside except for ministry, except for serving, except for what can we do. And this morning, as we conclude the service and go to invitation, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if some families got together and say, let's just go talk to the Lord about continuing to serve, or there's more ways that we want to do this. And I might not be able to serve in this capacity or that capacity, but as a family, as a couple, as children, or whatever the case may be, I want to be addicted to serving somebody else. And then the test to that addiction is, how do you wake up tomorrow? Who can I serve? It's an amazing thing when, I'm not an expert on this, but I know enough about it, when you could put somebody that's addicted to a substance in a room this size, and if there's somebody else in it, they'll find each other. The same is true of those that serve. They find each other. Say, where do they find each other? They bump into each other while they're trying to serve. Oh, I didn't know you served in this ministry. I thought you served in that ministry. I serve in all of them. What else can we do for him? I'm not an expert on this, but addicts look for opportunities to get that next fix. I wonder what would happen if we came to church. Yeah, you want to get something from the Word of God, you want to get something, but you paid attention to what's going on. It's like, who looks a little down today? Well, we have the prayer list, but Pastor made some prayer requests from the platform today. Let me write those down. I'm going to put you on the spot. I wonder how many of you could tell me the name of the child. I asked us to pray for it beginning of the service. I know our minds were on other things. But I wonder how many addicts would come to church and say, okay, where's the opportunity for, I got to have my fixes all week long. So who am I going to minister to this week? You say, Pastor, I'm so addicted, we need to come up with some more ways for me to get my fix in serving. I'd be okay with that. Because trust me, we've started this meeting on Tuesday, and we got Sunday school classes that we're starting all over, and we got visitation times. I have not exhausted my list yet. Well, how are we going to get it done? Some people got to get addicted. Serving other people. Well, those of you that serve, and boy, thank you for serving, but more than anything, can we look and see if there's something else we can do for him? Let's reject the entitled spirit of today that says everybody and everything is here to serve me. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords left heaven and came to this planet, robed himself in flesh, not to be served, but to serve. He set the example. I'm like Christ, so everybody meet my needs. No, if you're going to be like Christ, you got to be addicted to the ministry. Hey, who wants to join me? Pastor, you need to slow down. It's hard for an addict to slow down. I'm going to confess that. You're going to kill yourself. Yep, it's hard for an addict to think way, way down the road. And I'm not giving justification for being addicted to tacos this morning. I'm just using this analogy. It's hard for an addict when you see the needs and you see people who still have circumstances they need help with, and those that need their spirits lifted, and you're never going to run out of people who need to be encouraged and who need to be have a smile put on their face. They need somebody to just say, hey, I'm thinking about you, I love you, I'm praying for you. There's never going to be a shortage of those kind of people if we would truly get addicted. We wouldn't be checking that one, it's getting holiday time, I got to do some charity. Check that box. As an addict, a ministry addict, I've got to serve, I've got to serve, I've got to serve, I've got to serve, I've got to serve. The addict, they have no concept of finances and money and whatever they get in. They will use it and spend it right there. And of course, that's destructive. But when it comes to a ministry addict, we're the exact opposite of that. Well, I'm not saying you bring me the you just live out and homeless on the street because you've given all your money away. God will help you with that. But I'm just making the point this morning. As an addict, we're finding a way to serve, finding a way to be a part. Let's let the Holy Spirit work this morning. Father, we come to you today.